Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Looks pretty good.
Looks pretty good after
they,
2 weeks.
Did they beat North Carolina? They scored a bunch of points.
Yeah, he looks good.
3-3.
By the way, I wore my Tony Kornheiser Show hat all weekend on the soccer fields of Arlington/McLean.
Excellent. Just making sure you get noticed. How'd that work
out?
Very good.
Begging for attention.
So true. Please notice
look at me.
Well, the
I'm on TV.
Look at me. Do you watch cable television during the day?
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty, then. We are live. We are at Chatter, which is open for breakfast. Every morning we do this show at 7 o'clock. We've got some people in here today from Canada, from Prince Edward Island in Canada. And that's nice to have people from Prince Edward Island. They gave us chocolates, chocolate truffles, Anne of Green Gables, chocolate truffles. Ooh. That's a very famous book.
It is.
Anne of Green Gables. Liz Clark is with us today. Steve Sands had the following choice. He came in for the Redskin game, and he's here, and he could help Easy Ed slice cheese, or he could be on the podcast. So Sands is with us today. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel is doing the board. And we should start. We should start because you have a home in Orlando, which was not supposed to be damaged severely by Irma, certainly not as much as the Keys, or when it started moving west as much as Tampa and Naples and things like that. But it moves. You know, you can't control these things. How's your home in Orlando?
First of all, I'm a big daytime cable TV watcher.
So you know Saliza.
Huge, yes.
Yeah.
We're actually doing okay. Have power stayed on. It is now a shelter to our friends. Thankfully, they are okay. Their power went out, but a bunch of friends are staying at the house. So we'll have to wait and see what happens when everybody goes home today. Hopefully, if the airport opened this morning on time, and then they have personnel to be able to get to the airport, and then planes and crews to get in place,
yeah.
The family will go home today and assess everything. But we had a tree come down in the backyard that fell, I mean, these are rich people problems, but it fell almost towards the pool. So
wow.
It's fine. The house is fine. No water got in the house. You know, Valerie sandbagged the doors and did all that kind of stuff. But everybody's okay. Thank you for asking.
I think that the two places that got hit hardest, one was unexpected, and that is Jacksonville.
Yeah.
It was unexpected. Hammered. And the Keys, where everybody said for a week, it's going right up the gut of the Keys, and that's what happened. I think most people were spared what was said, predicted to be catastrophic, and I don't think it was catastrophic in most areas, but certainly in the Florida Keys. Although those people, you see them on the morning news shows, they're not only are they out and about, but they never wear shirts.
Here's what's crazy.
On national television, they don't wear shirts.
Jimmy Buffett down there.
It's unbelievable.
Here's the thing about, like, I'm born and raised in D.C. This is always going to be home, no matter where anybody asks me, where are you from? At any time of the day, at any point in my life, I always go D.C. But having lived in Florida for 20 years now, you become an amateur meteorologist. About a week ago, when the storm was coming and they were predicting it, I kept thinking, okay, if it stays north, it's fine. When those things dip south and keep going south and west, that's bad for Florida. That's bad for the Gulf because those things are going to turn eventually.
Yes, they do.
You want them to turn early. The more north they are coming out of Africa, the better. And this one stayed south. When it started coming up the gut of Florida, straight up the chute, let me tell you, those Keys, if anybody's ever been to the Keys are as exposed as you can possibly be.
I'm terrified to drive there because it's 70 miles of bridge right on the water.
I mean, the Keys are gorgeous.
Well,
love going down there.
I'm going to have to miss it.
But you talk about exposed. It's bad. Jacksonville got plowed.
They really did.
When that thing turned to the right at the end, as opposed to going Naples, Tampa, Tallahassee, and it went Naples and then kind of went up the chute of Florida once again, that brought Orlando back into play, and that brought Jacksonville into play. That was bad for both of those cities. I mean, there's schools out.
Yeah.
Flooding.
Charleston, South Carolina is flooded, but Charleston, South Carolina floods at the threat of rain.
Right.
The downtown
they
is
flooded
always,
last year. Yeah. Liz and I were talking about this. They flooded last
always
year
floods.
During Matthew, right?
Yeah, they flooded everything. All the time.
You're a big Jacksonville guy, right, though?
Yeah, we had great times in Jacksonville. They love me. They wish.
Oh, yes, they do.
Happy birthday to all the world except Tony Kornheiser, who should die, was one of the signs at a church, which was great. One bit of advice, if you have access to the Washington Post or the Washington Post website, read Richard Cohen today. Read this column. This is a great column. It talks about America. Just it's not as political as you think it's going to be. Read it. It is a great column. Let me get to the show. David Lynn in Vancouver. I mentioned people from Prince Edward Island on the far other end of that country, which Liz likes now after having seen Fly Away
complete.
Home, which is great to say. Enclosed is a sweater for the prize closet or one of the gang. It's a small token of thanks for the June shout-out you gave to the mother to whom I'm related by marriage, Janet Keller, on her 80th birthday. Also enclosed is a booklet by EasyJet, How to Overcome Your Fear of Flying. I assume EasyJet is an expert on the subject. Their flights are so cheap that I'm sure most of their passengers are a little scared. The woman to whom I'm related by marriage and I are flying from Venice to Naples, Italy, for less than £30 each. The likelihood of livestock in the passenger cabin is high.
Well,
thanks for the pop-up shows this summer. You few times a month is better than there every day. Very nice. So
nothing wrong with flying with a cow and a chicken and a goat.
And a goat. No. Speaking of goats, how do you think you get the goat's milk soap? You got to fly with a goat at some point.
Exactly. Thank you for the gift, Tony.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Okay, let's get to the real issue in your lives, which is Bruce Springsteen.
Oh.
In both of your lives. I did not know, Steve, that you were that big a Bruce Springsteen fan. I know that Liz is the number one fan in the world. Bruce Springsteen is putting on a show of some duration, like, what is it, 3 months and then a break and then 3 more months or something like that on Broadway.
Yeah.
In a theater, the Walter Kerr Theater that seats about 1,000. But Broadway theaters are not huge.
No. Yeah.
That's big for a Broadway theater, 1,000. That's pretty big. The George Gershwin Theater, I think, is the biggest one. I don't think it has more than 1,200 seats.
This is considered a small one. But it's like 900 something, exactly as you said.
And I've done the math. So the question, and you would know this more than anyone, because this matters to you.
Yes.
Beyond the fact that whether or not you've gotten tickets, which we'll get to, but why would Bruce Springsteen do a Broadway night after night after night after night? And the most recent report in the paper yesterday was its tickets were going for $8,500 a piece.
Right.
Bruce Springsteen politically is very liberal. I would think that he would say to him, he's got all the money in the world.
Yes.
I would think that would offend him.
Yes, yes. Oh boy, where to begin?
All right, go.
So I don't pretend to have a channel into his psyche, but as to why he would do this, I think over the last couple decades of his career, we've seen him play massive stadiums where he's like a messiah to crowds of 80,000 people. Then he'll do a Tom Joad record that's like him howling with a harmonica and play small venues like Constitution Hall here. I mean, he will experiment with the scope and scale and size of both the album and then the audience he's playing to. And he has written, as of last year, a very voluminous autobiography that was very well received. And, having seen him a myriad times down the shore in little clubs, I mean, he's never lost that yen for playing in an intimate space, kind of bar band style. As I understand it, this show, though he wanted to play to an intimate crowd. This will be, I think, a solo show. But he's going to weave in.
Oh, the band's not with him?
No.
Oh,
he's going to weave in reading some from his book. So it's going to be like talky, read a little bit, play a song, maybe explain how this particular song came about. I imagine the show, like all his shows, kind of evolve night after night, which is why, people like Steve and myself like to go to see Bruce time and time and time again, because the shows are not static, So the first plan was to play 8 weeks at the Walter Kerr, 5 nights a week. So that's 40 shows at 900 and some seats. So at most, that's 40,000 seats, right? That's equivalent to 2 nights at the Garden. It's going to take him 2 months to play in terms of butts in the seat.
Or one night at a football stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the ticket sales, not surprisingly, crushed so badly within 24 hours. They announced, he's going to extend the run. So there's a little pause over the holidays. Then he launches again, I think, for 10 more weeks. It's like double down. So it takes it through February. So there were two different waves of sales. The pricing for this 950-some seat place ranges from $45 to $800. That's the ticket value, not what it's going for, which I find mind-blowing, offensive, all kinds of words. I find it. I mean, I don't see how a place that small, you could go from a $45 seat to an $800 one, unless the $800 ticket is like sitting on his lap, on the stage.
The $40 seat is in the bathroom. It's not even.
But how bad is the bathroom if the place seats 1,000? Yeah. It's like, but anyway, so as a ticket buyer, you were only presented with two choices. I want a ticket that's under 400 or over 400. And then you got what it generated and you could take or leave it.
Steve.
So I'll stop there.
How many times have you seen him? Liz, you're way over 100, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, probably 150.
Really?
Yeah.
Going back how far?
The River Tour.
Right.
When he first came to the Capitol Center.
Hmm.
I was born in 69, so I was probably 11 at the time. Yeah, I think he wanted to play Broadway. I think that
Billy Joel plays the Garden repeatedly.
Well, Joel
likes to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he's a Jersey guy.
Yeah.
He loves, as Liz was saying, he loves the intimate settings of going to the Stone Pony and going to these little places where he grew up playing. And I think he's won an Academy Award. He's played in stadiums all over the world. He has told you everything in the world about his life in this book. And the one thing that he clearly hasn't done professionally is play Broadway. You know, he spent a lot of time living in a hotel in New York City when he was recording and as a kid, meaning after high school, just starting his career. And I think Broadway had a big allure to him. And I think that's the thing. The ticket thing is interesting with the over-under being $400, mm-hmm. as Liz was alluding mm-hmm. to, that what happened was because there's such demand on the tickets, he wanted to avoid the guys who were charging $8,500. There's no way to do that.
Yeah.
It offends him beyond belief that people can't get into his concerts without spending thousands of dollars. But there's no way to avoid that. And especially in today's day and age. They tried. They went to Ticketmaster.com. They tried to lock it down. They only allowed two at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go buy a bunch. It was a complete lottery, a random thing. But there was nothing that they could have done about that. I mean, we got lucky. I mean, you're going in October. I'm going in November.
You've given it away. I was going to say, did you get tickets? Did you both get tickets?
So, no. I am so compulsive. I followed all the rules. Again, as Steve was saying, there's like three hurdles, very complicated process to get a chance to buy these tickets. I got shut out both times. But I made sure everyone I knew how to do it. And so everyone I deeply care about, you know, in the tribe of fandoms, everybody got through except me, and a dear friend is inviting me on her other ticket.
So you are.
So I'm
that's
set.
Exactly
set.
How
I,
October
27th.
And you
that's
are,
exactly how I'm going.
Right?
11/15, November 15th.
Right.
A very good friend of mine. You know, I had everybody I know apply online to get them and wait. Nobody got them. I didn't get them. And then a very good friend of mine, John Giacomo, who's a diehard Springsteen guy, like me, we've traveled all over the world, really, to see him. He called literally last week and said, I've got an extra one on Wednesday, November 15th. Would you like to go?
So,
and I was like, what are you crazy?
And you will suspend whatever you are doing to do this. This is like playing Augusta.
Literally.
That if you get that opportunity, you do
literally.
It.
Literally. One of the beauties of my job is that in my phone is my schedule for the year as far mm-hmm. as events. Now, things could happen, but the live events that I have to do for sports are in my phone right now. The first thing I did was look it up. I am home that week, and I can fly up on a Wednesday. We can go to the show. We can go out and drink and eat afterwards, and I can fly home the next morning. I got permission from my wife. Everything's great.
So you don't know anyone in the band that you could call? Well, and you don't know anyone in the band?
It would take a lot for me to impose on anybody. It would take a lot.
I have a couple great connections in that regard with him. The answer is yes, but I would never ask.
Steve,
a million years.
You know, there's like a
really.
You have to
that
earn
is, that,
it. You have to fight for it. It's like the ethic of being a fan. You have to really, really try. I mean,
so if you had both gotten shut out, you would not have picked up the phone, and I would call Nils in a heartbeat if I wanted to
we
go.
We know that about you, Tony. You would call. Right.
That's the point. The point isn't who you are; it's who you know.
I actually agree with that. Except I agree with that 100%. Except in this particular instance, I think you're a hero being there, having not asked.
I applaud this in both
Steve.
Of you.
Yes, Steve.
Because you're both famous and you could do it.
I'm so not famous.
Yeah.
And I would go to extreme, probably debauch lengths to get a ticket. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But putting my hand out to,
although I
no,
will say, with
one.
The price.
So I do.
I will say, Tony, with the price of this ticket, Val Sands might be getting a purse that could match amount of the ticket.
Well, but that becomes the price of the ticket is not relevant.
Correct.
Not at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's rainy day money. That's why you have money. This is the thing you're going to do. I mean, you're going to spend the money on the ticket.
Yeah. Correct.
Unless it's, I mean, I'm not saying you would spend $5,000.
What do you mean?
Maybe you would.
What's your point? Yeah. A flight, a hotel, dinner, drinks, the show.
Oh, right. Oh, it's a $1,000 night. Oh,
how much?
Thousands.
Yeah.
It's thousands with everything you have to do.
I have it. Yeah. Mine is not that. My hotel on points, you know, Super Saver Amtrak.
As I tell my friend, a very good friend of mine said, how much do you think the whole experience will cost you, soup to nuts, from the morning of 11:15 to the morning of 11:16? I said, a bad night at the blackjack table.
it's a lot. Oh, well, it's good.
I should point out, we probably should announce this yet, but I feel like the emotion of this moment. Chatter is working on getting Rick Springsteen to perform here for about, actually 2 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
By the way, one last thing on Springsteen. Do you go to the beach like Tony, Liz?
You mean in this phase of my life?
Yeah.
No, I used to go down the shore
all
the
time. Have you seen Bruce in the USA? Summer.
No, I would not.
I need to get... it's fabulous.
No,
you're wrong. It's great.
Oh, is that a cover band?
It's a
cover band. They play at the Starboard in Dewey Beach once a year.
Right.
And Monty, who owns the place...
Steve Montgomery.
So he makes sure that they're playing when I'm in town.
That's so great.
Right?
That's so great.
And it's the best night of the year at the beach.
It doesn't offend you that these are...
Liz
Bruce, is biting, literally biting her hand.
Stop biting your hand. Here's why. Bruce... not only accepts what they do, but he endorses what they do. They have his blessing.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Liz is not perturbed. Liz is perturbed.
Yes.
Liz is
I'm telling you.
It looks like Liz's head
is
going in.
It's a fun night, man.
You wouldn't do it, right? That offends you as a purist. I mean, let's be fair. That offends you.
Hey, when the Skins won the Super Bowl in 87, I had no problem with them going 3-0 with the Scabs. that's the way it works. The general manager.
I hear what you're saying.
Bobby Bethard, Joe Gibbs, the front office, they're part of the team as well.
Words cannot come out to explain my feelings. I'll say is I admire any musician who gets up and performs. I just love that. You know,
so
God
do you have a problem
you,
when Bruce plays other
not.
People's music?
No, I love
when he plays Twist and Shout.
Does covers.
So.
No, I see what you're saying. But there, I have.
They don't attempt to dress like him or look like him, do they?
It's not like Beatlemania.
I mean, I would not go see.
They just play the music.
I guess what I'm saying is
have a couple of Grapefruit Crushes and enjoy the music.
I see a difference in bands that play covers, whether it's the Rolling Stones, Bruce. I mean, I totally love that. I think that's cool. There's something for me highly unsettling about tribute bands, whether it's a tribute band for the Grateful Dead, you know, bands that are either alive or dead or, you know, Beatles tribute bands. I don't know.
We're going to let you two kids
cultish.
Work this out on your own.
Are we driving
you
away your listeners?
We're going to take a break.
Do you have a problem with that?
No, I don't. But I also...
It's entertainment.
But it's the kind of thing, if I went to it, I'd wear my orange pants. I mean, I wouldn't take myself seriously
you know what?
If I went to
I'm
it.
I'm taking you next summer.
And I'll wear my orange
I'm
pants.
I'm taking you next summer.
My free.
Can you stay up? They don't get on stage until 10.
That's tough, but I can make I'll make an hour at least. I'll make an hour. We'll take a break. When we come back, Jason Lockenfora of CBS Sports will join us. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Boland Branch ad. Saliza buys these sheets on his own.
Yes, where's buying?
Saliza doesn't call somebody in the band up and say, give me these sheets.
Nils, I need some sheets.
Saliza buys these sheets on his own. You don't need to spend a fortune to get the rest you need. Great sleep starts with the right sheets. They're more affordable than you think with Boland Branch. The right sheets can take your sleep and your style to the next level. With Boland Branch, that upgrade has never been more affordable. Let me give you the three most important words for getting a good night's sleep. Comfortable, comfortable, comfortable. And if you want the best sleep of your life, you need to be comfortable. And Boland Branch sheets are just what you need. I don't have these. Michael, do you have these?
I do not.
Does anybody
We have a packet of them that is, I think, on my childhood bed at home.
Great. Well, I'm going to go into that room because I know where it is, and I'm going
to
get them.
I need to meet Saliza.
You need to meet Saliza. What makes Boland Branch unique is that each sheet is crafted from 100% organic cotton. That means Boland Branch sheets not only feel incredible, they also look amazing. And since Boland Branch sells exclusively online, you don't pay that expensive retail markup. That's half the price for twice the quality. You will love these sheets. Try them for 30 nights. See for yourself. If you're not impressed, return them for a full refund. Anyone who sleeps on Boland Branch sheets loves them. That's why they have thousands of five-star reviews. The New York Times, Forbes, Wall Street Journal, they rave about them. Even three U.S. presidents, although they are not named, have Boland Branch sheets. Go to BolandBranch.com today. You'll get $50 off. Wow. You get $50 off your first set of sheets plus free shipping when you use the promo code Tony. I may do that. That's $50 off plus free shipping right now at bollandbranch.com. Spelled B-O-L-L and branch, B-R-A-N-C-H.com, promo code Tony. Once again, that's bollandbranch.com, promo code Tony.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Jake Trujillo sent this in. Says, I'm a loyal little here in San Diego. The song is called Outrun, and his band is Spider and the Ant. We would greatly appreciate a play on the podcast. However, I must confess, the rest of the guys hate sports and seem to give me an ever more confused look whenever I say La Cheeserie, followed by what the blank does that mean. But if it airs, you get three more littles, so we're happy about that. He plays in Jason LaConfora of CBS Sports, back with us for the second year, making me very happy because Jason is simply the best. I got a million questions. You know what I want to start with? Because I guess this has been diffused already, but it struck me last night. I didn't stay up to watch the second game, but I did watch New Orleans at Minnesota, and I did see that glare from Adrian Peterson to the back of Sean Payton's head, and I did see that Peterson said something that eventually Payton turned around and must have said something back. Everyone says this is nothing. Jason, is this something?
First, Horn, I just wanted to say, hope you had a great summer. I knew you were down the ocean for a while hitting them golf balls, man. Tony, it's good to be back with you. Look, I mean, nothing to see there. I don't know. Everyone diffused it after the game, like you say. But sometimes you got to just trust your lying eyes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in real time, and then one of the many millions of, is it memes? I think memes is how you say it, with the little things that they cut up and put on the Twitter there, on the Google machine. Yeah, it didn't look good. certainly in real time, it seemed like a dude who was already fairly upset about his role, you know, less minutes into the season than when Bill O'Brien normally yanks his starting quarterback. I mean, this really, by any measure, this season had barely begun. I mean, look, his contract dictates he's one of many guys who will be in that backfield and probably not the guy. Mark Ingram's a better all-around back. They have other people who catch the ball better than Peterson. That's never been his forte, nor has route running. And we'll have to see. But Sean Payton certainly has a personality, and Adrian Peterson has been expecting a certain sort of level of workload his entire career. And I would say I will be making some phone calls about that this week. To me, it's not a complete non-story. Although, look, the reality is going to be, how much does Adrian Peterson really have to add to any team at this stage of his career? He did not look like beast mode, you know, in Nashville on Sunday. I'll put it that way.
6 carries, 18 yards, but I think 8 on the first carry, so nothing much after that. And in the red zone, barely got in the game. If you're going to hire Adrian Peterson, if you're not going to play him in Minnesota, why did you hire him?
Because it's a long season, and he wants to be more balanced, he being Sean Payton, right. And they don't want to have to win with Drew Brees throwing it 60 times. And if they had a big lead, I think you probably would have saw a lot of Adrian Peterson, because he would have said, I don't really want to risk Ingram, you know, who tends to get banged up, and I'm not going to be throwing the ball to any of my air backs. So here you go, Adrian. When we have a 14-point lead in the third quarter, you're gonna, you know, we'll ride you some, but it's going to be dictated by game tempo situation. It's not going to be dictated by the fact that you're on our roster. Therefore, you command an automatic 25 touches, which was the case most of your career.
No, and also Sean Payton is a very self-confident young man. I mean, he's not. He's running the team.
I don't think he flinched, you know, when he was getting dagger stared through the back of his head or even when Adrian was sort of barking at him. It seemed like he sloughed that off pretty coolly and confidently.
All right. In looking back on the first week of the season, I would have said the biggest result was still New England losing on Thursday. But I'm going to ask you, as you look at all of it, is that number one or has it been replaced by something else?
I mean, I guess I would say things that concern me, like things that get your attention that you think maybe more than a blip, that would be of the, you know, of the 3 to 5 that stand out, New England's utter complete lack of a pass rush would be pretty far up there. Now, that's not unexpected. I I would have said if, you know, we chatted 2 weeks before the season, hey, New England's the best team, but they're not without warts. I don't know who gets after the passer there. And if they have to chase games, if they aren't always squatting on the ball coming out of the half, then that could be exposed against better teams.
Right.
And certainly that's how that played out. And, you know, they're still going to get to their 12 wins, but do they have the formula to win in January, or does Bill Belichick go out and trade for a pass rusher? Not that there's many of them who are ever out there or available, but do they try to make some Jared Allen-type trade from a right. few years back to address that? Offensively, they'll be fine. I know these injuries are mounting a little bit, but I wouldn't be shedding any tears for those guys yet, but they certainly have limitations defensively, and when Alex Smith exposes them to that degree, you're not going to sleep that well at night. But, I mean, Cincinnati's lack of an offensive line, Arizona's lack of a quarterback and now a running back, you know, those were some of the things that leapt out to me as well. From teams that I wasn't big on Arizona or Cincinnati, but some people were, and I wouldn't be freaking out if I was a fan of theirs, but, you know, I wouldn't be looking for those playoff invoices to be in my mailbox, you know, in December either.
This is interesting, Jason, because we talked about both of those yesterday on TV, and I put them in the exact same box. I said that their time is done.
Yeah,
Arizona and Cincinnati, their time is done, and they're looking at 6-10, I think, at most.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the AFC North is any great shakes. So I still think Cincinnati, those are rival games. They'll get up for some of them. They certainly weren't for week one. But they're intriguing to me. And Arizona as well, because of Bruce Arians' health and age and where he is in his career. But, you know, those situations, New Orleans, those look like places where, you know, the head coach, is pretty good chance he's not back. And the quarterbacks might not be either. And I just wonder if Cincinnati is a 6-10 team, and if Marvin Lewis is going to get kicked upstairs or whatever, I wonder if ownership at some point says, you know what, let's put Andy Dalton in bubble wrap. We might be able to trade him and unload some of that salary, and let's see what McCarron can do. If all these teams have been calling off for us second-round picks from McCarron for a couple years, maybe we need to see what he can do sooner rather than later.
Let me get to the Cowboys because they stand out because of Ezekiel Elliott. I assume you would agree with me that at some point, a federal judge will say, didn't we go through this with Tom Brady?
Yeah.
You're going to have to sit down, son. That's the way it's going to work. But when do you think that will be, and what is the Cowboys thinking in putting him out there? I assume they figure he's a running back. Running backs get used up. Let's use him up.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, this is Jerry Jones. This isn't a guy who's, you know, looking to the spring or beyond. He has a coach's mentality. He's living in the day. What do we have to do to win right now?
That's right.
And then we'll worry about tomorrow. So this is music to their ears. I mean, this is. I'm sure there was a celebratory tone all over that practice facility last Friday or whatever when the verdict from the judge in Texas came down. I don't see him avoiding this or escaping this long term. That collectively bargained agreement tends to trump all in labor law, no matter which court you go to. Ultimately, the NFL usually finds a judge at the top of the ladder who says, yeah, there's some craziness going on here, and it might be a kangaroo court, but you guys agreed to that kangaroo court.
That's right. That's right.
So I think he'll miss the first six games of next season. But, I mean, January...
Oh, you think he'll get all these games in this year?
I think he will. Well, you think about it. Okay, they're not like there's going to be recesses around Thanksgiving, right? And then there's going to be recesses around Christmas, and there's going to be preliminary hearings, and then boy, somebody's docket's going to be full, or man, oh, that lawyer, something else came up. Can we move that back? I mean, it's not that hard to push this beyond January. As much as we would say, oh, the season just started, football just arrived, in terms of the calendar year, and a case of this magnitude that probably will have future appeals beyond whatever stage we're in right now. Unless a judge comes out this week in New York and says, basically, I'm stripping what that judge in Texas said, and I'm yanking this guy off the field immediately, and I'm adhering to this decree the NFL asked for sort of an immediate injunction. Short of that happening, I think this plays out well into 2018.
Okay. Speaking of the Cowboys, at CBS, do you have interaction with Tony Romo? And what do people think? I think he's going to be very, very good, though I concede I did not hear a word of his game.
No, I Tony watches film in my basement to prepare for games. No, we're not eating crab cakes. But I like Tony a lot. I thought Tony would be beyond prepared, and I knew how seriously he was taking this. And I had heard rumblings of this years ago about how seriously he was taking broadcasting. And he was preparing for this well before he had decided who he would be working for and well before he knew that it was going to be CBS's number one booth. So I thought he did a tremendous job, and I'm not saying that as somebody who's part of CBS. I'm just saying if you didn't know the whole backstory and you were just listening to a broadcast, I don't think you would have thought that that guy, you know, 3 months ago was thinking about still playing football and had never called a game in his life.
Yeah.
He has a natural sort of candor. He has a little bit of a natural charm. He wants you to be in on it with you. He's not afraid to poke fun at himself. He's known Jim Nantz for a while, and those guys already had a bit of a chemistry. And he's so fresh out of the game that, I mean, he literally was calling the game almost like he was still a quarterback, but almost like he was still barking out, there's the mic, and here's what they're going to do, and we need to audible and shift to the right because look what they're doing on the left. I was really impressed.
Okay, that's good to know. The two games that stand out in terms of, wow, how did this happen? Jacksonville beating Houston and beating Houston badly, and as you mentioned before, Bill O'Brien yanking a quarterback about 10 seconds in, and the Los Angeles Rams getting 46 points, which they didn't get in three games last year. Is this an illusion? It has to be an illusion,
yeah,
right, for both of them?
Yeah, I would say that we're grading on a curve here. I mean, that Houston-Tennessee, Houston-Jackson, that's AFC South on AFC South crime. Like that, we can't really read too much into that.
Okay.
I mean, when somebody from that division emasculates somebody outside that division on the road or whatever, then I'll tip my cap. Bill O'Brien refused to alter his scheme. He had an immobile quarterback who's still inexperienced. His left tackle is holding out. The rest of his offensive line seems to be in tatters, and he doesn't hold in. He doesn't max protect. He doesn't only send two out in the coverage. He doesn't say, Hopkins, go beat a double team. The running backs aren't involved that much in pass protection. So, yeah, I mean, Calais Campbell looked like Reggie White, and Calais Campbell's a heck of a player, but not every week is it going to be, ole, covered. Like, hey, just go. You want to whack our quarterback? Knock yourself out. You know, don't hurt yourself on the way. So I grade that on a curve. The Texans scheme and their personnel was horrible. Jacksonville's better. I don't know how good they are. And the Colts may be the worst team in football. And Scott Tolzien, I mean, come on.
What are you doing with this guy?
Nah, it's utterly ridiculous. And I when I was at their camp and watched it, and at that point they hadn't traded for a Brissett yet, and it was Tolzien and Stephen Morris for 2.5 hours, and I was ready to gouge my eyeballs out, and they were playing against their own crappy defense that day. So, no, that's not good. That's not professional grade. But for the Colts, it's not about 2017. It really isn't. Young rookie GM. The quarterback is hurt. He's not even close to practicing yet. I mean, Andrew Luck maybe in mid-October, and they're going to lose a lot of football games regardless. And I think what their best-case scenario would be is what happened with the Titans a few years ago. You already have the quarterback, and you're picking first overall, and there's two or three quarterbacks who all the other bad teams want, and you set your price for that pick, and you try to set yourself up for a quick turnaround. I think in their heart of hearts, that's probably their dream scenario.
Let me get to one last question before we plug the podcast, and it has to do with the Rams. It has to do with Jared Goff, who played for a defensive coach last year who hated him and didn't want him on the field. And now they bring in the offensive coordinator from the Redskins. And I don't know if Jared Goff is any good. But I would think that if Sean McVay found something in him, that changes the face of that franchise for a long time to come.
Well, look, he doesn't have to be a quarterback who plays like he was a first overall pick who you traded half a draft to get. He just has to be a functional quarterback in that system. I mean, if he turns into Kirk Cousins, you can make the case they gave up too much to get him, but it's better than any quarterback they've had probably since before Mark Bulger started, suffering from concussions. So, I'm with you. I know that they feel like there's clay to mold there. I don't know what the upside is, and again, that Colts defense is hot garbage. But Sean McVay knows what he's doing, and it's not just McVay, it's that entire staff. It's so much better. I mean, Jeff Fisher, treated offensive staff and developing a quarterback probably like he treated the dudes who'd come and pick up his garbage. He would see him from time to time, and they did what they did, and maybe you say hi to him once a week, but the rest didn't matter. I mean, he had guys calling plays who had never calling plays before. He had guys from the defensive side of the ball working with quarterbacks. So the totality of that staff is incredibly better, and at least Mr. Goff will have a fighting chance this year. Last year, he did not.
Plug your podcast.
Yeah, we're going to have DJ Durkin on this week.
Really?
Don't be more opinionated. I'm going to ask him, why did you beat up them Towson Tigers so bad, hon? You didn't have to do that to them. And we'll talk some Ravens and the Fading O's, BMOshow.com, and be more opinionated on the iTunes, Tone.
Thank you, Jason. Talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, buddy.
Jason Lockenfora, who is fabulous.
He's so great.
He's just fabulous. We will take a break. When we come back, we will have some news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the SeatGeek ad. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy, and that is with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person. SeatGeek will get you close to the action for a great value. I was in the gym yesterday at Columbia, and a guy came up to me and said he had used the code, and he had gotten three Nats tickets for $41 with the discount, and he was thrilled. So this thing works. It will actually work for you. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to help you get the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals of every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And as I was saying, listeners to this high-quality pod get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. You just download the SeatGeek app. That's SeatGeek. You download the SeatGeek app. You enter the promo code Tony today. That is promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is our friend from Lexington, Kentucky, singer-songwriter Brandon S. Bowker. He has sent along a couple of tracks from the Treehouse album, which is available now at Bandcamp and CD Baby. He'll definitely send along a disc or two for the prize closet, which is nice. Michael, if you're like Brandon S. Bowker, and you're a singer and a songwriter, you got your own band and you want to be played here, how do you do it?
You can email your music to jingles@tonycornheiser.com.
And are we selling anything with the Chatter label on it?
We are.
Because from tomorrow on, we're selling Johnny O for
a while. I think we have some beautiful Chatter t-shirts that are now shipping, so you can check those out. Rob Kolpian out of Indianapolis has done a great job on those. And yes, in preparation for tomorrow's show,
with
the Tony
O'Donnell
K code is still live on the website. And I would like to add, baseball playoffs are beginning to shape up. Not a lot of races are still open. So get your gear now, because it's going to take 2 to 3 weeks for it to arrive. So it'll be here just in time for those divisional series.
Is Johnny O getting involved in colleges as well?
He has
because
been involved.
Because Rob Stronach texted me the other day and said, if he does it at Syracuse, I'll be the number one consumer of it.
I'll look into that. I know they have a rota of universities that they do sell gear in their bookstores and online.
Probably
that
not
continues to grow.
I got it.
It's a small market school.
Yeah, probably not.
Might be the coolest guy you ever have in here,
John O'Donnell. We had him in once before.
Johnny's the best.
Yes,
he is the best.
We hope it's supposed to rain tomorrow. We hope to play golf tomorrow because I know he was a good amateur player.
He's a tremendous golfer.
So that would be good. So he'll play with Bob Dolan and Michael Kornheiser, and I'll go from the white tees. I'll go like 50 yards up and still be
How's
in their
Michael's
shadows.
Game lately?
Well, Michael's Bootsy has cut into Michael's game.
That's why I'm asking.
Well, Bootsy, I will say this. I've had one extended
kills
golf
a man's
trip
game like a baby.
Since Walker's arrival. My back is beginning to hurt. I've never had back issues before. Now I've got lower back problems.
From carrying Bootsy.
Probably
you need
from carrying that 12-pound weight.
You need to pay someone to carry that baby around. This is, or have your mother to it.
But I never truly realized endorsing your son paying someone else to carry his
own
baby. Tony, man.
Outsourcing
that is not right.
Role.
That's what I would do.
That is not right.
Like they said, I said, do you want me to babysit? And they both said, no, we never want you to babysit.
You're never allowed alone with the child.
Because you won't actually babysit. And I said, that's right. I will hire a babysitter and I will stand around.
Yeah, you get
watch.
It done. Yeah, you get it done.
What? What is the problem with
that?
It's like I look at Liz. What's the problem with a cover band? You know, I mean, what's the problem with hiring somebody to babysit
the
kid?
Tribute band is different.
Tribute band is better than a cover band. No,
not in
much
my
worse.
I would think it would be. Yeah. I think if they dressed like them, that would be bad, or looked like them, or worked out at the gym, so you could look, you could emulate Bruce's arms. By the way, do you know who is jacked?
Who's that?
Chris Cuomo.
Oh man, did you see him with the T-shirts?
Oh my God,
the New Day T-shirts.
Yes,
I said that to my buddy.
We were
watching
this at PTI the other day.
He couldn't wait to put the T-shirt on.
He's down in Miami. He's wearing a T-shirt. He puts his arms out, and you go, "Look at that." And we were saying, when he's off camera, he's doing crunches.
Absolutely.
Because he, of all the network guys, he's really...
He couldn't wait to get out of the suit and tie, get that T-shirt
right
on at Miami Beach, so he could show
Cuomo
off the guns. Yeah, he's
Look
jacked.
Look at those arms.
Yeah, he's jacked.
Nigel, do you have news?
I do. I'm just looking at the guns on Chris Cuomo. Yeah,
no,
he's
really
out.
Yeah,
he's
jacked.
Oh. Yeah, Michael mentioned baseball. We'll start there. The Indians apparently have forgotten how to lose a game.
My God.
Did they win again?
Yes, 19.
Yes, 19. Yes, it's the longest winning streak
they
in 15
Detroit
years.
They beat Detroit last night 11-0. There are only three teams since 1900, that have longer streaks than 19. Wilbur and I were talking about this yesterday, and he said the bigger story is the Dodgers losing streak. I said, no, no, you reach this number. Do you know what they've outscored opponents by in these 19 games?
Oh, it's ridiculous.
132-32.
Yeah, the pitching has just been phenomenal.
132-32. This is a big deal.
Nigel, a buddy of mine said in sports radio in Cleveland, they're having a side bet on sports radio in Cleveland. When who's going to lose more games in September, the Browns or the Indians?
It's
going to be real close.
Browns have won. Browns have won.
Yeah.
They got one.
Yeah, and the Indians don't have
that,
any.
That you got to pay attention to that.
By the way, you talk about
plus Terry. I can say this. I don't like everybody. Terry Francona is a good guy.
Now, if
he is a good guy,
if he gets past 20 wins, is that like another notch for him to get into the Hall of Fame? Having won with Boston, gotten to the World Series, and who knows what happens with Cleveland this year?
He won twice with Boston.
That's right.
If he got to the World Series, if he wins a World Series with Cleveland,
he's in.
He's in. He's in.
Sure.
He's in.
And by the way, remember when Houston was just running away with the best record in the American League? Cleveland now up by a game and a half. In the National League with the Dodgers, as you mentioned, they've lost again 11 in a row. The Nats just 3.5 back. So now you want to rest players.
It's making me nervous.
For the postseason.
Yep.
But at the same chance, you've got an opportunity to get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Is that something that you would strive for if you're Dusty Baker, or do you want to rest the guys and make sure you're all lined up for
the playoffs? It's not a question of resting guys because they have so many substitute people who are already in the lineup that have worked in very, very well. I think if you can get home field all the way through, you want it.
You want to play the Cubs or the Diamondbacks?
I think you want to play – well, they've beaten both this year, and they have the Dodgers coming in. They can – they have double games with the Dodgers. They have three games at the end of this week, right? Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. If they sweep those games and the Dodgers continue to lose, they're right there.
Oh, absolutely.
They're right there.
You want them to catch them?
I do.
Nigel?
I want them home field.
I think it would be great.
Michael is reticent about this.
Michael?
I now want them to catch them, but this is the first moment that I will admit that. I don't want anything to do with the Cubs in the playoffs.
All right. I understand that. So what else do we have? Oh, we didn't do the NFL games.
We didn't. No,
Tamara and Allison were out in Denver. Denver held on.
Yes,
they
did.
Were up 24-7.
Blocked a field goal, right?
The kid kicks the field goal, but the Denver coach goes time with 1 second left, makes him kick it again. It gets blocked. Denver escapes. They probably didn't beat the points on that. It's had to be more than three. 24-21. And in the early game, The New Orleans looked bad.
Yeah,
the
offensively.
New Orleans looked bad. And Minnesota, Sam Bradford.
Yeah, 346
Sam Bradford,
yards.
Who we laugh at. Sam Bradford was 27 for 32 for 346 and three. And no picks. Sam Bradford looked great.
Yeah, he did.
So I mentioned both of those games.
The college football quarterback for Oklahoma, Baker Mayfield, has apologized for planting the Sooners flag at midfield at the shoe after beating Ohio State.
No, he didn't just apologize.
Well, yeah,
he said, I didn't mean to offend it. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, didn't mean to be disrespectful to any Ohio State people at all.
And you took the Oklahoma flag and you stuck it right in the middle of the O. And you did this because not only did you beat them, but they beat you last year in Norman and made fun of you.
And sang the fight song.
Sang the fight song.
Right.
And they talked about it before the game.
Baker Mayfield's been thinking about this for a year. And for him to his apology is garbage. It's just own it. You were great. You beat them. You celebrated. Good for you. You're a 60-year senior, like 80 years old, this kid.
Can I just say, as an Ohio State fan, I'm not angry with him. If we don't want him to do that, beat them. You know, yeah. If you win, you know, you can do something like that. So, you know, bow to him.
He should not apologize.
No, he shouldn't have.
He should be ripped for apologizing because that's, you know, that's just trying to be politically correct after the fact, you know.
Miss America contest, Mr. Tony.
What happened?
You want to hear? This is how it worked down from the five finalists, all right? It was Texas, North Dakota, New Jersey.
North Dakota is such a surprise.
North Dakota, yeah.
I bet they've never won.
No, they had never won before. Missouri, New Jersey, and the District of Columbia.
Whoa, so not Louisiana or South Carolina or Mississippi are perennial finalists.
Right. District of Columbia has been a perennial finalist.
Was this on television? I just missed it?
I guess it
was. And it wasn't in the newspapers?
I had no idea. I
covered it once. It was one of the most exciting things I ever covered in my life in Atlantic City.
Wow.
The winner was from Oklahoma, Miss Oklahoma. It was the most political.
Was this for Newsday?
No, for the Washington Post. I loved it. You can go back in the clips. I enjoyed it. Her name was Susan Powell. I loved it. Loved it. They had sharp elbows. The candidates have
sharp
elbows.
Like you loved it in a campy, funny way or seriously loved it?
I loved it for the competitive nature of it. They were like athletes.
I'm going to find your story.
Did you cover that
for
the sports section?
No, the style section. Wow. The style section, I enjoyed it. And I always pay attention to it. And I can tell you that I didn't think Miss North Dakota had ever won.
Not a lot of horsepower in North Dakota.
Miss North Dakota.
The breadth of your wisdom sometimes takes my breath.
A lot of the southern states, there's...
Yeah, they dominate.
Well, but they're doing this from a very young age. They're schooled in this and raised in this. Look, Phyllis George from Texas, she was Miss America. Love Phyllis George. You know Phyllis George at all?
I grew up loving her.
She's fabulous. No, she's fabulous. And she speaks to all of that stuff.
Can I give you a quick Ole Miss story as far as this goes? I covered an Ole Miss football game 100 years ago. I'm on the sideline. Some guy's watching me. I'm like 25 years old. Some guy's watching me rubbernecking the entire time. And clearly I'm 25 and I'm at Ole Miss and I'm looking around at the crowd.
That's girls. Sure.
Yeah. The prettiest girls in the whole world.
Yeah.
And this guy comes up to me, slaps me on the back, and is my favorite line I've ever had in 25 years of any person during a game or an event live while I'm on the air. Guy slaps me on the back and goes, "Where are you from, son?" I said, "I'm from Washington, D.C." He goes, "That's what I figured." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "We got a saying down here in Oxford." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Up there in the north, you redshirt all Americans. Down here at Ole Miss, we redshirt Miss Americans. You have yourself a good weekend, son."
That's great. That's great.
So, yes, indeed, Miss North Dakota did win.
Good for her.
Kara Mund is your winner. Yes, so congratulations to her.
It's nice that Miss DC got in the finals.
There she is by Tony Kornheiser, September 8th, 1980.
I did it.
There you go.
Did it. Loved it.
Okay.
Loved it.
Okay.
U.S. News has college rankings out.
It's sort of predictable. Princeton is one.
Yeah, this is under national.
And Williams is one on the smaller privates.
Yeah, national universities. Princeton, Harvard, University of Chicago, which will make Wilbon happy, I'm sure. Three, Yale and Columbia rounding out the top five.
Whoa, Penn took a nosedive since Michael left.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
where's Penn in relation to Duke?
See. Great investment by
Penn
you.
Is,
4 years
Penn is above
of Penn.
Duke. Penn is just one above Duke.
Yes.
All right,
so
Michael, happy
I'm taking that home.
Yes, and I guess it would be six,
here's
seven.
Here's all I want to know.
Eight and nine. Yeah, eight and nine.
In the public sector.
All right, in the public sector.
Did Binghamton place?
Yes, they did. And I'm going to go. Hold on. It's in other additional rankings.
Honorable mention.
Top public schools.
Where are we?
Well, I think you're 52. It's UCal, Berkeley, UCLA, UVA, Michigan, and then UNC. And now let me just type in Binghamton. And
you'll
see
have to go a few columns below.
Those are the five top public schools?
Yeah.
Yes.
I understand that. I understand that.
Binghamton. Now, it's not listed in – it's just 87th in national universities. So it's not listed in – it didn't make the rankings for public
if
schools.
If we made the top 100 and that included public and private – that would be spectacular. I can't believe we did.
It said 87th in national universities, 49th for best college for veterans, and 52nd in best value schools.
So that's good.
Is that one of those paid steakhouse things on an airplane? Or is that like a real survey?
The plastic surgeons.
It's a real survey, yes.
What else?
Charles, do we have time?
No, we have to get to Alexi Lalas.
Oh, you want to do Lalas?
Oh, yeah.
Alexi Lalas, who did play for the national team at one point, did not win a World Cup because the U.S. hasn't won a World Cup,
ever.
But is just enraged at this current collection of
players. Well, he went
players.
On TV. He used to work for ESPN. Now he works for Fox.
He says,
here's what he said. I'm going to read this. This is Alexi Lalas. It's dark days indeed, but this is the time for leaders to step up. And so to the supposed leaders, I will say this. All right, Tim Howard. Tim, the Belgium game ended 3 years ago. We need you to save the ball now. Jeff Cameron, clean it up or let's get someone who will. Clint Dempsey, you're a national legend. Now we need you to be a national team leader. Michael Bradley, the U.S. does not need you to be zen. The U.S. needs you to play better. Jozy Altidore, is this really as good as it gets? Because it's still not good enough. And then to Bruce Arena. Bruce, Jurgen Klinsmann lost at home to Mexico. You lost at home to Costa Rica. This is now all on you, not Jurgen. And oh, by the way, to all the guys I didn't mention, it's because you don't even warrant a mention. That includes you too, Wonder Boy. That's that kid Pulisic.
Yes.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to continue to be a soft, underperforming bunch of tattooed millionaires? You're a soccer generation that's been given everything. You're a soccer generation on the verge of squandering everything. So it's time for you to pay it back. Make us believe it again. Make us believe again. You don't owe it to yourselves. You owe it to us. And get off my lawn, Alexi Lalas said. What do you make of that? Wow. That's strong.
I love it. The only thing he didn't say is be like the U.S. women.
He should have said that.
Soccer team. Yeah. I mean, that would have been a nice little kaboom.
What about that? I watched him do it, too.
But I love that.
I mean, there's a tape of it everywhere. And
well, it seems ridiculous that your team.
How dare he? What did you ever win? Why didn't somebody say that? What did you ever win?
Yeah, I suppose. But he played at a high level.
Well, these guys are all playing at a high level.
Yeah, but they might have to play an international game against Syria or Australia just to qualify for the World Cup.
Syria?
Yeah. I'd give one.
Syria?
We're playing Syria.
Syria fields a team?
Yeah, that's right. Syria. So, yeah, so I mean, these.
So, you're four. So, Liz, you're four Alexi
Lalas. I like the spirit, the point. Okay. And I do, you may have noticed, have issues with attitudes of entitlement and people who think that, you know, and I do think this generation of soccer players, male soccer players in particular, they are privileged. I mean, when you look at where soccer is played around the world and the effort and spirit and grit that countries with far, far less put on the field, there is something about the entitlement issue that doesn't speak to competitiveness.
Steve, are you with Alexi Lalas on this?
I just want to say I love Liz Clark.
Well, yes, everyone does.
I love her in person. I love her in print. Yeah. Everything about Liz Clark is great.
Michael, are you with Alexi Lalas? It's your generation he's talking about.
Sure.
He's attacking you personally.
Yeah, no. I'm still thinking about Penn falling through the rankings.
Isn't it wrong to say soccer sucks?
I'm not a big soccer guy.
Okay, I'm not either.
Yeah, I'm not a big soccer guy.
No offense, Nigel.
Yeah, no, that's all right. We call it football.
By the way, when's the last time you guys won a World Cup?
We have won one, though.
60? Yeah. 1960? Yeah.
No, I read one line from your There She Is column from 1980?
Oh, do.
The fluttering sequins on her pink.
It's not a column.
Okay.
It's a reported story. Different.
The fluttering sequins on her pink gown glistened in harmony with her silver crown, and her blood red nail polish perfectly matched the velvet on her scepter. A lucky accident, of course. And of her eyes. They sparkle, they bubble. They're going to keep her from a whole lot of trouble.
Oh,
good job,
Tony.
Out of me. Good job.
You were a poet.
This summer, Tony, you told me, I asked you, why don't you write anymore? And you said, I can't write anymore. I'm afraid I won't be as good as I used to be.
Can't write.
After hearing that, I disagree. You actually could write that again.
Yeah, you don't think that was very good.
Correct.
That's
fine. No, I'm kidding. It was great.
We'll take a break. We will have Old Guy Radio. During Old Guy Radio, we will talk to Liz about the Redskins, and we will talk to Steve about the upcoming, my problem with the upcoming finals at East Lake in 2 weeks. Yes, yeah. My problem, which is the same as my NASCAR problem, which Liz can speak to as well. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a ZipRecruiter ad. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else, and that is why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within one day. There's no juggling of emails or calls to your office. You simply screen and rate and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, listeners to this high-quality pod can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. Let me spell it for you. ZipRecruiter. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The patented small sigh and gasp by Liz Clark as we play Bruce Springsteen for Ogai Radio for a couple of reasons. One, Liz is here. Two, we talked about 9/11 yesterday, and this was written as a direct result of 9/11. That entire album was, The Rising. And on this one, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't Nils sing on this song? Doesn't Nils, don't they go back and forth in the middle of the song? Isn't that Bruce and Nils?
I believe so. I mean, I think so.
Yes, I believe you're right.
I think so. Yeah. So it's a great song
Nils
and a great album.
WJ High School.
Walter Johnson, yeah.
Yeah. No, he's
Garrett
didn't
Park.
Graduate.
Garrett Park did not
dropped
graduate.
Out.
Did pretty well. Well.
Not graduate.
Did pretty well.
Very happy.
Yeah, did well.
How'd it turn out? Did you know he did Bullet Fever?
Yeah.
I did not know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he lovely did an update, I think, last year. He's the updated Bullet.
He's a lovely guy.
He's the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nils is the reason I fell in love with Bruce and the E Street Band.
Is that right?
Well, I grew up, you know, and he grew up in Garrett Park. My buddies grew up in Garrett Park. And
is that right?
That was just a huge thing.
Wow. Yeah. That's good to
Nils
know.
Nils was the
to
guy.
Hear Nils at the concert, I forget where it was in Virginia when I saw him when he came to town a couple of years ago. And he talked about, you know, recording Southern Man with Neil Young.
Yeah,
and just his resume.
Cool.
Is, and, you know, meeting Ringo Starr and getting to play with him. I mean, it's just, he's just the best guy.
I think he's got a brother who's a lawyer. Who obviously went through school.
Right.
And Nils could have gone through school, but he said, why am I doing this? I can play.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I want to
do. Met Nils once. What a guy.
Oh, he's the best. Oh, man. Yeah.
So we have Liz Clark and we have Steve Sands. And so now we get to certain things because Sands came up this weekend to watch the Redskins.
Oh,
and I would just say, Liz, this was sort of underwhelming by the Redskins this week.
Yes, yet not a surprise. I mean, if you paid attention during the preseason, it was not a surprise. But I think, say at one point in the press box, I'm glad I didn't pay to watch this. I didn't realize that. I mean,
good for you.
Steve had flown up to do it. I mean, that sounds flip, but I mean, it was not the way you want to start a season. Obviously.
They got 3 points in the second half.
Yeah.
3 points.
Yeah.
They had an interception down near the end zone.
Yes.
How much of this is on
four,
Kirk Cousins?
Four turnovers. What else? The whole offense got 10 points. So the first touchdown of the whole season was scored by a linebacker. At the risk of sounding like a Cousins apologist, the blame is so shared for all that's going wrong or is not working on offense. The offensive line that was so stout and so great the past 2 years is just, it's neither, pass protecting or run blocking very well. I don't understand because they're all back. The decision to let DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon go, I think, was a mistake. I would have let one of the two go. But, you know, to think that you're going to bring in Terrell Pryor and get enough out of the rookie that you know, didn't play his whole rookie year.
Josh Dotson?
Yeah, Josh
can't
Dotson.
He can't get on the field, right?
Yeah, which is a big, big puzzlement to me at the moment because he is healthy, and I'm not understanding why he was not used. He was sort of reduced to a ghost in that game. So, I'm sorry, I'm sputtering. The passing game is not working as you wouldn't expect it to be necessarily. They lost their offensive coordinator. Jay Gruden is calling the plays. It's just there's so many moving parts on this offense, and I think there was the belief that they would pick up where they left off last year on offense. It was the third most productive offense, so I think you thought, well, that will only take a step forward, and if the defense can improve, here you go. You got a playoff team, and the offense has taken
quite
a step back.
Can I get to an obvious question here about Terrell Pryor?
And Cousins is also part of, yeah, he was responsible.
I mean, I listened to Wilbon tell me how great Terrell Pryor is.
Let's talk.
He was a quarterback in college.
Yes.
Is it reasonable to believe that he's going to be a great wide receiver? Because he dropped passes.
Yeah, I mean, shame on me because I have so many tweets throughout training camp raving, fawning about Terrell Pryor. He took my breath almost every day.
Right.
He is one of the most beautiful athletes I have ever seen run. He transcends any particular sport.
He's did like, you watch Diggs last night? He caught the ball.
No, what I'm trying to say is what I saw, what everybody saw in training camp has not translated to game situations. It didn't translate to preseason games. It didn't translate to this game. I didn't see him miss hardly any balls in training camp. But the first play of the game, he had no idea the ball was coming. He couldn't locate it. He dropped a touchdown pass. You know, Cousins was very quick to say, I could have been more accurate with the ball. I mean, I think Cousins took a good bit of blame, as he really should have in many cases. But I think, yes, it is naive to think that an elite quarterback can become an elite NFL wide receiver in the span of a year or two. It's sort of like maybe a lot of us could get into, you know, an 8,000 horsepower or what NASCAR car and plop on Daytona with no other cars. Like if we're the only car on the track,
right,
we could really floor it and have
guarded
a thrill. But when you have 42 other cars like all over you, it's quite a different situation. And that's what separates Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon from me, or even the most bold regular driver. It's a different thing to do it in traffic at speed. And the lesson that has come back to bite the Redskins this season so, so badly is that the training camp they staged in no way mirrored live action. They did not scrimmage with another team, and they didn't even bring it. I mean, there were days when a play would break down in camp, and so Kirk would scramble, and he's like begging his own defense, chase me, run after me, you know, let me feel what pressure
right,
is
right.
like. It was a very blithe, comfortable camp.
What did you think, Steve, of the game? You were there.
Yeah, that they stunk.
yes.
I thought that Kirk Cousins was outrageously inaccurate. I think Terrell Pryor is a great athlete, but he has stone hands. Crowder can't drop a punt. Gruden has horrible clock management.
True.
Their offense on Moses letting up 3 sacks.
Yeah.
You know, they're just not good.
No.
And it's
not
Bruce
ready.
Allen, man. Everything in life, my father taught me this when I was a kid. Everything in life is about leadership. Forget Snyder. He's an unpopular, pompous ass who nobody likes in this town. It's fine. But he's now almost kind of gotten out of the way, and he's let Bruce Allen have the keys to the Cadillac. And it's just outrageous to me as a lifelong fan and Washingtonian that Bruce Allen can be that inept and that the only person who could fire him allows him to be inept because he has some sort of link to George Allen back in the 70s. Give me a break, man. They're a joke. Their personnel, it just doesn't mesh correctly. The coaching staff doesn't mesh correctly. The way they call plays, prior to that first pass.
When that?
I mean, what? I mean, God, what are
I
you
mean,
doing
the,
there?
I mean, the first play of your season opener, you would think if you script anything, if you're going to nail anything,
I mean,
you got that down. You got that down. And they start slow every game. So, you know, let's start.
They're 0-5 in openers under Jake.
They Green. Are. Look, they are a 7-9 or 8-8 football team that with coaching could be 9-7 or 10-6 or personnel or a front office. But they go the 5-11, 6-10 route because they're one of those middle teams. If they had a professional organization going there from top to bottom, they would be 9-7, 10-6. But they're 6-10 because it's just a laughingstock, man. I don't get it.
Came up here to watch it.
How can that be acceptable? You know why? Because I want my 3 sons to be Skins fans.
That's
and
you've really
gotta,
nice.
You've got to push them in the direction of how you grew up with your sports life.
It sounds just like Wilbon. Wilbon does that with Chicago.
Well, seriously.
No,
Wilbon
I think
does.
It's so that's cool.
Takes
sports
Maddie to all Chicago games all the time.
At the end of the day,
says you can't wear Nats jerseys.
Right. At the end of the day, in our house, you can't wear anything other than Nats, Wizards, Caps, Skins, and Terps. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what sports is.
And
is
Castle.
That you're with your family and your loved ones and you're having a good time. But you know,
the Hoyas. What about the Hoyas?
No,
please.
Give me a break.
No, that's really beautifully put. We know which one is the broadcaster.
How
here.
Can I? That's what I want to know. People ask all the time. If you could ask one person one question, you know, people like, if you had dinner with God one day, what would be the one question? If I could just have lunch with Daniel Snyder one time, I would love to. Forget all the nonsense. How do you let Bruce Allen run this franchise? How do you not look at Denver, Pittsburgh, New England, some of the pillars of the league the last couple of decades, and look, that's how it's done. Owner, president, GM, personnel, coaching staff, stability, not nonsense. I don't understand that. It makes no sense to me.
Because
Cousins has to be accurate, for God's sake.
He's not. Jesus. He's not as good as you want him to be.
Missing everybody.
He's not. You go to Chicago today. This is, becomes, in effect, the semifinals.
Yeah.
They cut from 60 to 30?
70 to 30.
They cut from 70 to 30.
This week in Chicago.
Okay. So here is my issue, and it's exactly my issue with NASCAR, which Liz covered for a million years. When you get to the finals,
yeah,
the winner has to be the winner.
I agree.
Has to be the winner.
I totally agree.
You can't backdoor it by finishing ninth.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Once you get to the, when you cut to 30, mm-hmm. whoever totally wins. Why don't they do this?
They could make so many changes, in my opinion, that could make it better next week. I understand the 125, 170. Get to 30 at East Lake. How about making Thursday and Friday interesting and making a cut, slicing it to 16, and then having a sprint to the finish on Saturday and Sunday?
Sure.
Make Thursday and Friday every bit as interesting as Saturday and Sunday. I don't know why they do that.
That's it. You can't say, well, you didn't really – you won this thing, but you didn't win the overall.
The PGA Tour – I mean, look, on NBC and Golf Channel for us and the PGA Tour, they've gotten lucky. They have not had, like, insanity happen, which, like – Kevin Na winning the East Lake and winning the FedEx Cup, that kind of thing. They haven't had that yet. They came close with like a Bill Haas, but he's a very familiar name, that kind of thing. But one of these years, something bad's going to happen, and someone who doesn't deserve to win it is going to win it, and it's going to look really bad
in
on the
every
sport.
Other tournament.
Yeah, it's bad.
When the field is set and you cut it down, those people who qualify,
I agree.
The winner wins.
Well, by the way, they call it playoffs.
The winner wins.
I mean, just because you go 14-2 in the regular season and have home field advantage throughout, you can
you
lose that divisional game and be out.
You have to win NASCAR.
Totally
they got
agree.
12 in the final, whatever it is, and the winner doesn't win.
Yeah,
it'd be a lot more fun if it was a sprint to the finish. By the way, you're going up against college football on Saturday. You're going up against the NFL on Sunday. They've changed that now.
Fall
is tough. Next year's going to be the last time they do that. Thankfully, they're getting away from football to focus more on the sponsors and the golf and the players. Blah blah blah. But while they're doing this, no one's watching because everybody's watching football, and the winner isn't winning. I agree with you 100%.
Let's get out of here. We will come back with a jingle and some email. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's not been easy for Metro as of late. So do we really need this here? Doesn't make a lot of sense when you add, say, fewer fires this year.
Fewer fires this year.
I've seen all your politicos and regular Joes in your cars and vans. There's plenty of buses for your public transportation fans. I don't have any reason. Me, myself, and mine. We're gonna stop that purple line.
Mike O'Connell, a Binghamton alum, class of 2003, who was in here yesterday. That's the second half of his song.
Yeah. So good.
It's just so good.
Well,
before we get into the mailbag, I want to thank Jason Lockenfour of CBS Sports for coming on the show today. Also like to thank our sponsors, Boll & Branch, ZipRecruiter, and SeatGeek. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. I also want to thank Steve Sands for coming in.
Absolutely.
And just helping us a lot. This is poignant. This is from Tim Townsend in Redondo Beach, California. I'll be traveling to Washington, D.C. this week to bury my father, Skip Townsend, at Arlington National Cemetery. In 1969, my father served in Vietnam with the Army's C Company, 4th Battalion, 23rd Infantry Division. On July 6, 1969, he was awarded the Bronze Star with Valor. On July 26, 1969, he was awarded the Silver Star. And on November 7, 1969, he was awarded the Army Commendation Medal with Valor. If I'm ever in need of perspective on what a few good months can look like, he's given it to me. A modest man from modest means in Van Nuys, California, he created the will and determination a different type of life for himself and in turn his family. In short, he was and will be the best man I've ever known. Everything a son could want in a father. And he was a radio guy. KMPC in Los Angeles in the 70s, KEX in Portland in the 80s, KUBE Seattle in the 90s, and Tim Townsend says he'd love to hear him get a national shout-out. Just did.
Lovely.
Very Eric cool. Wooten in Chass, South Carolina. Dear Dr. Grandpa Porthauser, Wolf Wall of Fame. From hurricane-drenched Charleston, please tell Michael it is raining. Also, how are the folks in Okotie? P.S. I'm using single malt as a coping mechanism. I think that's okay, right? Yes. How are the folks in Okotie?
The last photos I saw, the river had overflooded through the banks about 10 feet short of the back patio, but I've not heard the update today.
Because you can walk just a few feet into that tidal river. That's the May River?
That is not the May River. That's the Okotie River. And okay. Luckily, I think the most of the rain hit during low tide, which helped accommodate some of the water.
From Joe in Boise, Idaho. So Ann Hornaday's voice sounds like the number 4 touch tone? Really? Then what's Bob Ryan's excuse? His voice only gets that high when he and Tony are having their annual argument about what makes an upset in the NCAA tournament. This is just a guess, but every time Bob's phone beeps, I'm pretty sure it's his cheek touching the keypad on his mobile phone screen. It's actually fairly easy to restore the keypad mid-call, assuming you're hard of hearing, and to compensate, you have the phone smashed up to your ear and your face. And someone who at 36 years old already has a touch of tinnitus? Is it tinnitus?
Tinnitus.
Yeah. It's happened to me plenty. From Elliot Olshansky in Comac on Long Island, Suffolk County. A correction from Monday's show. Marist teams, including the men's basketball team, coached by former Dartmouth assistant Mike Maker, are the Red Foxes, not the Red Flash. I got that wrong. The Red Flash can be found at St. Francis University in Loretto, Pennsylvania. That's the alma mater of Al Serafino. Not to be confused with their Northeast Conference rivals, the Terriers of St. Francis College. Also, I can't say that I'm particularly surprised that the Arsenal-Wagner-esque coaching performance of one Chris Saliza, given that his English Premier League fantasy team, Lace Him Up, is currently 22nd in the Littles League. However, days before the start of the season, he did email me to ask if he could bring in his former Washington Post colleague Scott Wilson into the league. Wilson is currently beating everyone, and I think I speak for the 26 Laura Littles competing in the league when I say thanks a lot, Tree Frog. Best regards from Suffolk County, where I'm currently in 9th place with Lecheesery FC.
Nice.
Lecheesery
FC.
From Ed Budd in Frankfort, Michigan. Good to hear that Walker, a.k.a. Bootsy, is a big boy at the 95th percentile height. Given their names, you know our grandsons, Walker and Townsend, are destined to go to some Tony prep school together. Their basketball team will be formidable. Townsend, now 18 months, remains at 99.9% in height and mid-80s in weight. That's good. Hashtag power forward.
Yes.
Sean Johnson, La Plata, Maryland. It's great having you back to keep me company for my commutes and my runs. The summer travel updates were interesting and informative, but Nigel's story was incomplete. Nobody goes to Atlantis by themselves.
Oh.
I did. Although I did run into George from Bagel City while I was down there. That was fun.
The but question is, did Gretchen Wu enjoy the Bahamas as much as you did?
No, I'm sorry, Gretchen. It wasn't a trip with Gretchen.
Oh. From Helmut. Just heard your mailbag. Tony read an email from some guy in Bernsheim. Sorry, I already forgot his name. I also live in Germany. Grew up in McLean. My town, Heppenheim, is right next to Bernsheim. It would be great if you could forward my email address to that guy. Many a little in Germany would make my day, and I hope also his. So see if you can do that. Right. We'll read one more. Andrew McLemore in Dearborn, Michigan. I was the millennial in the Calvert Woodley shirt at the Detroit airport. Please tell Michael to tell Bill Marcus I thoroughly enjoyed being the recipient of the TK salute that afternoon. If I seem a bit behooved at the time, it was because I had to go back through security to retrieve the mobile device I'd left on our incoming flight. The women and children who are related to me by marriage and I had a wonderful time in D.C. In fact, we were the Littles from Detroit whom you greeted after recording the Katie Ledecky episode. We thank you for all the entertainment that has brought our family together. You own the 8 to 10-year-old demographic when it comes to sponsor recall and recognition.
Nice T-shirt.
Very nice T-shirt, yeah. Calvert Woodley. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white. Thanks for coming.
Tony, what are you doing? That
ever need helps me get over what I could never ever be.
Call all the things that we would sit and say. Nights when we were young, the restlessness of hands. Could you recall higher heights and remember how we led? Thank you.